the minute that we walked in the building.
Yes. Oh. And it's on right now.
So we recorded the whole walk in. It was thrilling.
And we ran into Paulo, who's a Niner. Okay. You know Paulo.
Yes, absolutely. So you got to get lost in our maze.
Exactly.
So, Carmine, here we are in Building 86, which I think is the land of windows.
It is the land of windows.
So we're up the engineering team, right?
The engineering team.
And we are with Donna Sarkar.
Yes.
Today.
That's right.
Excellent.
And she has this gorgeous office. You got some footage of it, Carmine.
It's really well decorated.
She has a great personal touch. I think maybe one of your favorite colors is rose, red,
yes,
pink.
Yes, absolutely.
And I wish, and I actually see her laptop. It has a red lid.
Yes.
And our viewers at home can't smell her office, but it smells really good in here.
Yeah, we haven't got that perfected yet.
We're working on it. So, thank you for being on the show.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
So, tell us a little bit about yourself. What is your job? What do you do here?
Okay, so I am a test lead on the Windows Experience team, and specifically Find and Organize. And what my team, Find and Organize, does is really focus on the search and the explorer technology in the Windows user experience. So WEX in general is the Windows user experience team. And what that is a set of APIs and the UI that users see and users use. So our customers are in the billions, as you know. Mm-hmm. And what my specific team, Find and Organize, works on is one of the most innovative and interesting areas, I think, in Windows, because there's just so much room for us to make changes and to grow. And my job, my personal job, is all about making sure that our customers have what they need from Windows. Mm-hmm. So for me, it really is all about the customer. Mm-hmm. And since I have a billion of them, you know, it's definitely a very interesting job. I am never bored. I have never had the same day twice. And I've never met the same customer twice, too. So.
Interesting. But, I mean, that's sort of a classic sort of what testers do. You guys are really about the customer.
We are really about the customer. In fact, that's interesting you bring that up, because I used to be a dev in my past life. Mm-hmm. And when I joined Microsoft, I had a very long chat with the recruiter, because the one thing that was lacking in dev for me was interaction with the customer. And that was, it wasn't something that occurred to me until about year two of my career. And what happened was, and this is exactly how it happened, I go into my cubicle, I have a seat, my manager comes into my office and says, Donna? And I say, yes, Matt. And he says, do you have a passport? And I say, yes, why are you asking? He said, you're going to Budapest in the morning. And I say, okay, I'm going to Budapest in the morning. Why is that? Mm-hmm. He says, we have a customer, BAT, British American Tobacco, and they are having a really hard time with our product. This is at my previous company. And I said, okay, so how can I help? And he said, I would like you to go there and follow around the people who use our product for 3 days and understand what is it that they want from our product. And I said, wow, I've never done anything like this before, right? So I was there in Budapest for 3 days, and I followed around the customer, did a lot of troubleshooting, and brought back a lot of logs and debugged a lot of their issues, and that's when I knew that's what I was supposed to be doing. So when I joined Microsoft, I talked to my recruiter for a very long time, and I said, what is the job with the most customer interaction, by far the most? And she said, now that's a toss-up between test and PM, right? And I said, well, I don't know what a PM is, but how much code is there? Because at this point, I was still in developer mode, where I said, I definitely want to be able to write code on a semi-regular basis. I was not ready to let go of my computer science degree that took me a very long time to earn. And I wasn't ready to just let go of all those developer skills that I gained over the past 3 years. So she said, maybe test is for you, because your time's going to be split. It's going to be one-third testing, one-third coding, one-third dealing with customers, and I would suggest a very user-facing group. And I said, that is brilliant. So that's how I ended up on the Windows shell, and then 2.5 years ago, we reorged into this beautiful, amazing, huge group called WEX, which is Windows Experience, and that's how I came to be.
Excellent.
So let's back up a little bit. Let's talk about your comp sci degree and how you got into programming and development.
Okay, so it's an interesting story. So I come from a family of engineers. So it wasn't a big surprise for me that everyone really encouraged me to go toward computer science, and I was ready to do that because the one thing I realized very early on is whatever I do with my life, with my career, it has to be about helping people in some way, right? And at that time, it was 1998, and computer science was just huge, right? The dot-com boom, everyone was starting their own companies, the local tech companies were hiring like crazy. And I thought I would be crazy to go into any other field because this is the future. This is it right here. And at that point, everyone had email and people had an idea of the internet, but it's not like now where computers are everywhere. You can't do anything without interacting with computers. I can't make a phone call without using my IP phone, right? So I got into the field and I was wary because I didn't know what it meant to build software at that point. But I took a very interesting class with a professor at University of Michigan. His name was Elliot Soloway. And he said, in this course, there are no textbooks. There's no exams. Your one and only job is to build a product for a customer. And that's very strange for a college student to hear. You say, what's a product? What's a customer? What am I doing? I need a spec. I need instructions. And he gave us none of that. He gave us a customer. And this was a group of fifth graders, and they need a product, which is a genealogy application. And it had to be for the Palm Pilot. At that time, Palm Pilots were huge. And I'm sitting there thinking, I don't know how to do Palm programming. I don't barely understand genealogy. And to design software for fifth graders is, that's impossible. I don't think fifth graders know how to use technology. It's 2000, we didn't know much about technology at that point. So I built this application, and hardly my finest work, but for a first try, I was very proud of it, and was able to click on the buttons and add father, mother, grandparents, and you know, nothing fancy, but I was able to have each kid in the classroom be able to input their immediate family into this app along with all of their family's information and pictures. And I presented that to my professor and he looks at it and takes it into the palm of his hand and clicks around and says, this is exactly what I wanted. And this is exactly what they wanted. And you should be so proud of yourself that you have delivered a product for a group of customers. And in fact, that's the first time that that had ever happened to me. And I felt this incredible satisfaction. And I said, this is fantastic. I love this job, right? I love this job. So that's kind of how I got into it.
So now you're a manager, so you're leading a team of people?
I am. I am leading a team.
So how far removed are you from the technology now?
I am maybe, I wouldn't say removed. I would say I have a bigger picture of what's actually going on. And one thing that I really appreciate about WEX as an org is that they really encourage the leads and the managers to stay very involved with the product. Being a lead or a manager doesn't mean you go off and drive a bunch of projects or lead teams to solve world hunger. It means that you are helping to deliver a really solid product, whatever that means. So for me, that means owning a very interesting set of projects. The first one being customer scenarios and the other one being self-hosted home. And I'll talk about both of those.
Okay.
Okay, so the first one is customer scenarios, where my manager and I were talking. It was very early on in Windows 7, and he's saying that, have you noticed that we'll go through all of the test cases in each of our features and say, pass, 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 pass. And then someone will ask, can I do this thing with this feature, right? Can I upload a bunch of videos, stitch them together, and make a movie for my five-year-old? And we'll kind of bite our lip and say, we don't really know, because we have tested the upload piece of the software and the stitching piece of the software and the burning piece of the software, but have we tested them all together as a scenario, as something a user would really do, right? And we realized that there was definitely a piece that could be introduced and really evangelized in WEX. And of course, the idea has been around for years. It's just something that he was incredibly passionate about, and I was too. So this was something that started off as a grassroots effort, but now it's become fairly common in WEX and COSD that each team has a set of scenarios, and those are very basic task that a user would do. That would use all of the features, or 90% of the features in each of the teams. And a lot of these go outside each of the individual feature teams as well, right? One of the big investments we're making in Windows 7, of course, is the idea of the home group, where we're able to have a really good home network. We're able to share pictures and music and documents and media from, say, my work laptop to my home machine, to my media center at home, to my PC that's in my den, right? If you come and sit in my living room and you say, hey, I would love to see some of the pictures from the Vista ship party, I say, okay, great. Just navigate into the home group and go to my den PC and look in the pictures folder and you should be able to see them, right? And all you need to do is connect to my home network. So that's an excellent example of how scenarios come into play and how we have to make sure that that experience works, because it's a promise we're making to the customer that this is going to work. So that's one of the projects I'm working on, scenarios. The other one, self-hosted home. Something we realized in Vista was that we find incredible bugs when we're not in the office. We take the product home, install it, have our husbands, wives, kids, parents, roommates play with it. They install their apps. They try out their devices. They just let the computer sit for 3 days and try to use it. And what happens, right? All kinds of very interesting things happen that don't necessarily happen in the office. We call this a very clean, sterile environment. And at home, it becomes a dirty environment, right? And that's called dirty box testing, self-hosted home. And really, the only way to find those kinds of bugs is at home, right? So I've been doing this project across WEX with a few other very talented people to get across the idea that self-hosting at home is very important. And I assign out sets of scenarios every 2 weeks. And people take those scenarios home, try them out, log bugs. And I've been tracking the trends over what kinds of bugs have been coming in. And there have been so many application compatibility bugs, device compatibility bugs, longevity testing bugs, just things that we haven't found, because that's not what our very focused testing is around in the workplace. And what I'm hoping in Windows 8 is that we do more self-hosting at home, but also bring that self-hosting at home environment into the workplace a little bit. So maybe have self-host Thursdays, you know, at lunch everyone goes and self-hosts, or have a room where we have a set of machines set up, and people just go in there and play with them, bring in their cameras, upload their pictures, download music, just make sure that the whole experience is seamless, so we can find some of those bugs in-house. So I'm very excited about those two projects, and I've been talking for a long time about them. I can actually go on talking about this for hours. And people laugh at me, because anytime we get into a discussion about everything, I'm always saying, well, what about the customer? What's the customer going to do? How's this going to affect the customer? We should really be thinking about the customer.
Good.
So people call me, they're like, oh, good, customer girl has arrived. But I don't mind, because that is what this job is all about. It is taking care of the people who believe in us, who believe in our products, and just giving them the best possible experience they can get from Windows.
When do you actually interact with customers?
So I actually do that a lot. I did last Tuesday was the MVP Summit. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, probably. And I got involved with the MVP Summit since literally my third week on the job, because I'd been at Microsoft for very short period of time when my manager said, hey, there's this MVP summit coming up, we need to do a session. And I said, what's an MVP? And he said, you own it. I said, sure, no problem, great. So a group of MVPs came to campus, and I worked with a group of other people to put together a session for them, which they enjoyed. And I've been doing that ever since for whatever team I happened to be on at the time. And meeting customers in person is probably by far the most rewarding part of this job. Absolutely the most rewarding. When I go up, shake hands with the customer, and I ask them, what can we be doing differently, or what are we doing well? And they say, you know what? I can see that you guys are taking our feedback, and I can see that we're making a difference, and thank you. There's just no feeling like that. It's like that feeling I had when I built software for this kid, right? It's just that feeling where there's a real person using this, and they appreciate the work we're doing. There's just no feeling like that in the world. So that's something that I got to experience last week, where we had our MVP session, Find and Organize, Core UX, and one of the other team, Documents and Printing. We had a joint session. And our customers, of course, have tons of questions, and we were able to nail each and every one of them, if not with an answer, with a website where they can go to get the answer. So it was incredibly rewarding to be able to walk away and say that we made these people happy. And MVPs, of course, incredible devotees of Windows, and mm-hmm. they do things for us that we couldn't pay people enough to do, mm-hmm. right? So each one of these customers that we're able to answer the questions for, there's 500, 5,000, 5 million people that they support. Mm-hmm. I met this man named Aurelio who supports a Latin American forum, and there are 500,000 people who come to him for tech support on our features. Mm-hmm. And just answering his questions, the impact we're having is just astronomical, how big of an impact we have. And that's something I hope that everyone who works on big technology understands and realizes, that every time we talk to someone about Windows, that is a customer we're impacting. Mm-hmm. It's a future customer, a past customer, a present, we don't know, right? But mm-hmm. it's just, it really is all about the customer at the end of it.
Very cool. So, because this is the Women in Technology yes. series yes, on Channel absolutely. 9, we need to ask a little bit about okay. your experience as a female in high tech.
Okay.
Presumably, you've always been in the minority as a woman. Perhaps not. That'd be great.
I would say, well, honestly, I don't think about it. Very honestly, I don't think about it. Because I prefer to think of myself as someone who solves problems mm-hmm. rather than defining myself by a gender or, you know, a mm-hmm. color or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But in terms of, yes, women in technology, there aren't many, but that number is growing. It is. It's mm-hmm. absolutely growing. I can see it. When I first went to college, yeah, there was 3 to 5 women out of 500 men. But I look around our team and Find and Organize, and we're at 20% women. And that is amazing. Mm-hmm. I love that. That's fantastic. I think one area where we definitely have room to grow, and we, I mean, Find and Organize, Wix, Windows, Microsoft in general, is having women leaders. I think by having more women in leadership positions, that sends a message to women everywhere. It sends a message to women in high school, to women in college who are thinking about pursuing a degree, that says that, yeah, you can be successful. Right? And being a leader doesn't necessarily mean being a VP, even though having a VP like Julie Larson Green is an incredible, incredible thing. Mm-hmm. Because it tells women everywhere that, hey, you know what? It's possible. Right? The face of Windows can be a woman, and that's a wonderful thing. Right? It doesn't mean that Windows is all about sitting in a cubicle, not interacting with anyone, and just writing code all day. I think that is one of the big stereotypes that exist for Microsoft, for technology in general. And this happens to high school girls. I know, I was there. Mm-hmm. And they just think that they're going to sit in a cubicle or a dark office by themselves, mm-hmm. and their coworkers aren't going to talk to them, and they're just going to spit out code for 12 hours a day. And that has never happened to me even one day. It's just, I've never even had that opportunity or, you know, bad luck to have that happen. Technology is all about collaborating with other people to make big things happen. The big technologies that have come out in the past 10 years, it's all due to collaboration. It's due to diversity. It's due to different points of view. It's due to thinking differently and, pardon the cliche, but thinking outside the box, mm-hmm. right? Solving problems in very different ways. So women definitely bring a very unique point of view, and I encourage women everywhere, give technology a try. It is not scary, it's not bad, it's not lonely, it's not nerdy. It can be. If people want it to be, it can be any of those things. A job is always what you make it, but I always enjoy myself most at work, and people laugh at me because I am most at home here in this building, mm-hmm. doing this job, interacting with my team, solving our problems. That's where I'm at home. That's where I'm myself. And yeah, there is absolutely nothing like doing this job. And I can't imagine doing anything else. Mm-hmm. I have a whole another career on the side, which, you know, we can talk about in a minute. But yeah, this is it. This is who I am. And I tell women everywhere that there is so much potential for growth in this profession. Just there's just, it's one of those professions, it's new, right? It's not something that's been around for since the beginning of time. There's so much room for growth, for innovation, to do things differently. And women have so much to give and so much creativity. And I believe women are natural collaborators and they naturally have vast networks. And if they can bring that to technology, then we can go very, very far. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, so now we have to talk about your second job.
My second job. I'm an author. I write children's books and books for teens and books for women, all fiction. I have published, well, I've had two of my novels published in the past year, in 2008. And I actually thought I would be a full-time author when I was in high school and early college. I thought, you know what, I'll do the tech thing, but eventually I'm going to be a full-time author. And I won't. I just won't do it. People ask me all the time, are you going to quit your job now that you're an author? I said, absolutely not. First of all, there's a notion that authors make big money. That's wrong. No, that is a wrong notion. Authors, maybe 5 to 10% of authors make big money. Most authors, it's a very steep trajectory to success. It's a very steep trajectory to success for some authors. For most people, it's a very flat plateau, and it may spike at one point, but for the most part, no. But being an author is a very lonely profession. It is something, it's something you create on your own. You, of course, have a team of people to help you, and a team of people who will boost you up when you're down, you know, pick you up when you fall, all of these things. But at the end of the day, it is something that you are producing by yourself. And that's not something I can do. But in some ways, producing a book is very much like producing technology, because you have an audience who you need to create something for. Don't, may or may not have much input into what they're looking for, but you do the best you can, put a product out there, hope it's well received, hope they say, please do it again. Right? So, it's a very interesting and fun outlet for me. I love to meet people. It's one of my favorite things in the world. And being able to go out and meet the readers of my books, and they're mostly teenage girls, I really enjoy that. I love to do school visits. I love to do library visits. And when I'm there, I always talk about this job. I always talk about technology and how it has really enabled me the time and resources to follow this secondary profession of mine. And it's a passion, it's a hobby. It will not be a full-time job, but it's really shown me a lot of things about the world that I didn't know before.
What are the names of your books, your titles?
The first one is called How to Salsa in a Sari, and the second one is called Shrink to Fit. And they're both fiction books for teenage girls, and they're all about teenage issues, blended families, weight loss issues, neighbors, parents, the whole works. And I'm working on a series of other books right now. And by working on, I mean thinking about, because right now the only thing I'm working on is Windows. I don't get a lot of time to write. I tried to create that time, some weekends, mostly between ship cycles. But it's definitely a creative outlet. I try to give as much time to it as possible. But for me, my work, this work, comes first, always. So,
cool. Interesting. So, I'm just curious, like, you have these, the plaques that hanging that say peace and serenity and tranquility.
Yes.
Like, that's interesting that you have that here in your workspace.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
So, this place, this building, this environment that we're in, it can become very chaotic very quickly. The smallest problem can spiral out of control if we let it. And my office, to me, is absolutely my sanctuary, right? It is probably the safest place in the world for me. If things are just crazy out there, there's a ship-stopping bug, there's three fire drills going on, there's an emergency that has to be handled by 5:30 snap today, I'll come in here, close the door, sit on this chair, and just think about it and say, all right, Donna, pull it together. What has to be done? Who do I have to help me? When does it have to be done by? Right? It's always the same three questions, right? The deadline, the resources, the priority. And just sitting here with my I'd like to think it's Serene, my Serene office. I'm able to solve a lot of problems. And one thing I always do is rely on my network. And the first spokes in my network are my team, my reports, and my manager. And I'll bring them in here and say, all right, I've got a problem, we've got a problem. Let's brainstorm on how we can fix it. That is how I solve problems. I'll come up with a proposal, propose it, see what everyone thinks. I'm always open to suggestions, but I have solved so many problems just with this technique, and some have been really big, some have been really, really minute. But that's my space, that's my office, my sanctuary. Some people hate this building because we don't have windows, but I actually don't mind it secretly. Of course, everyone watching this will throw things and say, how dare you and what's wrong with you, but this isn't bad compared to being in cubes or, you know, not having a private space to myself where I can close the door and just think.
Well, I mean, there's a reason. I mean, Sanofsky and his cronies, I mean, they don't want to put you in a room with windows. They only want you to think about one windows. That's only one
That's
windows.
Actually very funny, because when we moved in here, everyone said, huh, the windows team has no windows. Isn't that interesting?
Fascinating. Yeah. So, you know, we had your grand boss, whatever she is,
Julie
on this series.
That's right. Yes, we talked to her.
And so the WEX... group was created by and for her and her minions of people like you that really care about customers.
Right.
So it is interesting, going back to sort of the original topic of this whole thing, I think she's the first woman that's ever been responsible for the actual, you know, user experience landscape of Windows.
Okay.
And it certainly seems like she's having an impact. Do you think it's a gender thing? Or am I just, you know, is it just BS?
So, that's an interesting question. I think that Julie being a woman may be part of it, but I think Julie being Julie is much more so. Julie comes to us from office with years of experience. She joined the company 17 years ago? Something like that. It's a very long time ago. Mm-hmm. And she's had years of experience in office understanding the user experience. She worked on the Ribbon, which is now world famous, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And the Ribbon is really a psychiatric evaluation of how the human mind works, right? What do people use the most? What needs to be within easy click access? What can be buried within tabs, right? And the way she was able to think about this and the way she was able to bring the features that are most important to people up front, it shows a keen understanding of users and how customers think. So I think it's that she gets it. She gets that this is for users. This is for the billion people that we give this product to. And I think that's what makes her so successful. And that's what makes this version of Windows so successful. We've gotten just rave reviews. I think the highest satisfaction rates I've seen for Windows. And I absolutely believe it's because we have really good, strong leadership from the top, from Stephen to Julie to our VP of Test, Grant George, to Alesh, the Director of Development, to all of our friends in COSD, that this time we were very disciplined. We were organized. We had a plan. We decided to execute on the plan, and we're executing on the plan until we land this product. There's no deviating. There's no last-minute heroics, no theatrics, no drama, little drama, but... it's the first time that we've just all agreed on, yes, that's the vision. We're going to meet it, and we're going to meet it on this date, and that's what's going to happen. Yeah. So I think that's what they bring to this org. They bring vision and discipline, and that's fantastic. We've needed it. Hmm. I'm really, really enjoying working in this org. It's
great. I was wondering, because we've talked about that before, sort of the culture shift. I worked in Windows, and we had, you know, Brian Valentine and those people, and we get drunk every Friday night. So, you know, it was definitely really kind of Highlander, kind of geeked out mentality. And I think perhaps the UI sort of, you know, came from that. Right. But I'm just curious what it's like to have such rigor and just, you know, I mean, because Steven is a butt kicker, right? So it's kind of like, I've always been curious, like, how the culture shift has been handled by.
So, that's interesting, because you have no idea how many times people ask this question.
Good.
I actually really like it. I think that before, there was a lot of confusion and chaos about who is in charge, right? There was a lot of who is in charge of this. Who do we point to when something goes wrong? Who do we give kudos to when things go right? And who do we ultimately take our marching orders from? Mm-hmm. Right? Now it's down to Stephen and John. The WEX team takes marching orders from Stephen. The COSI team takes marching orders from John. That's it.
There are
other people. It's very clear. Mm-hmm. And what I really like about Stephen's organization is that he empowers his reports to do the job the way it needs to be done. And they empower their managers and their directs to do the job the way it's supposed to be done, right? So some people may call it extreme discipline, but I believe we need it, honestly. I do believe that. And it's worked, right? There is a lot of people who said, I don't know if this is going to work, this new model. And of course, you know, everyone's a little curious about how a complete upheaval, right? WEX was a complete reorg. New product, new management, new leadership, new vision, new direction, new everything. Mm-hmm. And it's worked beautifully, right? We're able to ship a product in 2.5 years and an extraordinary product, right? The beta was amazing. Mm-hmm. The feedback we got on it is, wow, this is better than any beta product ever used. That's an amazing compliment. And the best quote I ever read was, it was on one of those websites, either ZDNet or something, that says, if this is what Steven Sinofsky and his gang have been up to, please give them a raise. And that's really a testament, right? And that's mm-hmm. said by customers. That's not even said by us. That they get it, right? Mm-hmm. The people who've been using Windows for 10 plus years get it. They get that there's something different about this product, right? And mm-hmm. it was in the management, it was in the leadership, it was in the execution, it was in the delivery. And they're able to see it, we're able to see it. We're not going through this very emotional, chaotic time right now where everyone's working 24 hours a day and, you know, they're shoving dinner under the door. We're not doing that. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Everyone has pretty good work-life balance, right? Mm-hmm. Those of us who love to work and love to be here can be here as much as we need to. Those of us who need to be out of here at 5 to pick people up can do that. It's been very planful and organized, and I think that's why we're able to deliver on what we promised.
Great.
Yeah, so it's been nothing but good for me. Of course, everyone you ask will have varying opinions, but for me, my team, it's been much needed discipline, very welcome.
And the public response must be a great morale boost as you guys kind of head into the final march, right?
It's a morale boost, it's motivation, it's just everything that keeps us going. It's very interesting because in Vista, as we were nearing the end game, we were stressed out. We were very stressed out about the whole thing because there'd been the critics, the feedback, just the issues we were having. And it wasn't just the product, it was just the reaction to it and the perception around the company. And I was sitting in my office and thinking, can I really do this again? Can I really ship this product again with this kind of chaos and the toll it's taken on me, my relationships with people, my team? And the day we shipped, I just remember standing there and thinking that I want this feeling again. I have never had this feeling in my life, this amazing pride, like, wow, I've actually made a difference in the world. I feel like it's the very first time that I've actually made a difference in the world. And I know that when we ship Win 7, I'm going to have that feeling but tenfold, because we've done it the right way, and we've done it with a really strong team. I think more people are going to really understand what it's like to ship products with high quality, on time, without chaos. And I think Win 8 is going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. I can't wait. I'm not going anywhere. I am absolutely not going anywhere. Those doubts I had in Vista of whether I can do this again, I don't have them this time.
Wow.
I've already told my manager, I am not going anywhere. I am staying right here because I'm going to do this again. And, you know, maybe again and maybe again. I don't know. But it's kind of like an addiction, shipping Windows. It's very strange because that feeling of, it's out the door. It's going to a billion people. That's crazy, right? Mm-hmm. Because last summer I was the intern coordinator for WexTest, and I had interns coming in, and they said, you know, what do you like most about working on Windows? And I said, do you have a grandparent? And they said, yeah. And I said, where do they live? And I got various answers, like Montana, Hawaii, Nepal. And I said, do they use computers? And some said, yeah. The one who says they have a grandparent in Nepal and Tibet, they said, yeah, my grandma has a computer. And I said, what's on there? It's like Windows. And I said, well, isn't that interesting, right? You're impacting somebody's grandmother who lives on the side of a mountain in Tibet. We are impacting five-year-olds who are taking pictures of their goldfish, right, and uploading them, like the new Windows Live commercials. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's why I love those I'm a PC ad so much. I know I sound like one right now, but it's really, really true, because we impact so many people. We don't just impact the big OEMs or big companies like Goldman Sachs, but we impact everyday people. We impact people's grandparents, their coworkers, their friends, their neighbors, children, college students, high school students, right? So it's just extraordinary. I really, really enjoy this job. I keep talking about the same thing over and over.
That's great.
That's good.
It's interesting. You know, it's interesting you mention that, because my father finally installed Vista, and I've only had to field one support call. I mean, Vista, we give Vista a hard time.
Yeah.
But I think it's because people forget that Vista really was a significant change from its predecessor.
Yes. Yeah.
And
absolutely.
There's a lot of Vista in Windows 7.
Yes, that's right. There
and,
is.
And that actually enables Windows 7 beta to be so good,
that's
because
right.
you already had a hell of a foundation.
Exactly.
And I think, you know, Steven says that all the time. Yeah. But people need to understand that. I mean, Vista is well and alive.
Yes, absolutely.
The thing we have out in the wild, sure, had some issues with compatibility and whatnot.
Absolutely.
But the core is rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, my dad has only given me like one call, and it was, of course, a driver-related issue with his camera.
Yeah.
But now, you know.
This is the most positive I've ever heard you, Charles.
It's her energy. You're way too positive,
man. You're brainwashed.
Man. Whoa. I'm going to work on Windows.
You must.
This is great.
Jedi mind trick. Well, thank you very much. This is very interesting, and I hope people go out and buy your books.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's very cool. It's cool to hear that you can do, you know, even though you love this job, you're not consumed by it, and you can still do other things and follow
Absolutely.
Other passions.
Absolutely. There are so many people on our team who have lots and lots of passions and interests. We have, I think, 3 or 4 marathon runners, and we have someone who's writing a cookbook, someone who's writing a book on Himalayan travels, many people who play sports and are in leagues, and we have one avid world traveler just down the hallway, and she's always jetting off to some very interesting location or another. We have someone who's climbing Mount Rainier just across the hallway.
Nice.
He climbed to some mountain in Nepal, I can't remember the name now, I should remember, just last year. So people on this team they have lives, right? And this is one thing that, to all you college kids out there, you will have lives. You will have fun. You will make friends. You will have an amazing time. Okay, I promise. There is nothing about this job. There's no one who says, you must live your life here and you belong to Microsoft and to Steve B. No one says that. Everyone says that your diversity and your different points of view are what makes you special, and that's what makes you such a valued employee of this company. So...
Wow. All right.
Cool. And
recruiting
thanks you.
Absolutely. Right on.
All right. Thanks, Carmine.
Thank you.
Thanks, Donna.